Amen. You can be seated and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to continue here our study in the book of 2 Timothy. And we've been talking about what culture is going to look like in the last days. Paul said in the last days that this is what it's going to look like. And in the list of things that he lists are kind of dealing more with relational issues. And he's saying this is the way, Timothy, things are going to look even within the church as the return of Christ draws closer. And so we began to look at these. Look at verse number 1, 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days, Timothy, he said, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's all about them, right? People are going to be all about themselves. He said covetous. Instead of being giving, they'll be covetous. And then he says boasters and proud, as opposed to humbling themselves. Then he said blasphemers. People will think nothing about blasphemy, you know, blaspheming holy things. And then he says there's going to be a characteristic of great disobedience to parents by children. You know, there's going to be this chaos in the home, right? And then he said unthankful, unholy. Unholy goes with blasphemy. You know, blaspheming holy things that you ought to be respecting, but yet people blaspheme them. And so he says, this is what it's going to look like. Now, there's one word that I have not covered yet in verse 2, and that is the word unthankful. Unthankful. Paul said in the last days that as we get closer to the return of Christ, that people, even in the church, by and large, won't be truly thankful for their everyday blessings. People will take things for granted. Unthankful should be a characteristic of lost people who don't know God. I mean, think about it. Who does an atheist thank when something good happens in their life, right? I mean, unthankful should apply to people who don't know God, but never should it apply to save people who know God. I mean, don't you guys agree that if we know the Lord, we know that every good gift and every perfect gift and every blessing comes from above, amen? And so we as believers should be thankful. But I think Paul is again teaching that even people within the body of Christ, people in the church, are going to struggle with this thing of gratitude. The Greek word there for unthankful, I looked it up, and it's used one other time in the Bible, and that's in Luke 6:35. And here's what's interesting. The other time that word unthankful is used, you know how it's used? Is that verse is talking about the followers of Christ loving their enemies and how God is our example of how he loves his enemies. And here's what it says, how that God is kind to the unthankful and evil. So the only other time the word unthankful is used, it's associated with the enemies of God who are really evil and who don't know God at all. So would you guys agree with me? We don't want to be unthankful, amen? I mean, we don't want to be associated with people who are the enemies of God. But yet, I think we struggle with this. And I think one of the reasons is we don't think of being unthankful as being a serious offense to God. But yet it is. I mean, in other words, we don't think of unthankful as a sin. When we think of sin, we typically think of bad things that we've done. We don't think of good things that we should be doing that we're not doing. But yet the Bible says if we know to do good and we do it not, it's sin. So would you guys agree with me? Should we as believers, is there things that we should be thanking God for every day? If we don't do it, is that a sin? According to the Bible, that's a sin. But yet we could go days and not be thankful and not really occur to us that we've sinned against God by not being thankful. So I think that's one reason why we struggle with it. We don't think of it as a sin. But yet it is. It really says a lot about us. You know, whether you're thankful or not, that kind of gets at the core of who we are as individuals, who we are. There's a verse there in your handout, but before I give it to you, write this in your handout. The Bible teaches, and this is a great word, and that's why I gave it as a blank. The Bible teaches that we are to be abounding in thanksgiving. The Bible teaches that we are to be abounding in thanksgiving. Take your handout, and I want you to look at it. Look at what the Bible says, Colossians 2, 6, and 7. It says this, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How many of you guys in here have received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Say amen, huh? Then this applies to you. He's writing it to you. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, look what it says. So walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, and as you have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. So the word abounding is a great word. It carries the idea of something being inside of you and it's just bursting out and you cannot stop it. A few weeks ago, our little 1.5-year-old grandson was at our house, Connor, and he ate about 5 different kinds of food. And let me tell you something, inside of him came abounding out on our carpet. I mean, there was no stopping it. There was no stopping it at all. Listen, if I was to take this can of Coke and just kind of shake it up, and it's a warm can of Coke, and if I was to just kind of take it, just kind of shake it up, really good. This is a really good illustration. You're going to like this. About abounding. And then if I was to pop this, do you really think I would do that? Your pastor? Do you think I would do that just for an illustration? Yeah, you're right, I would. If I pop that lid, what's going to happen? What's the word? It's going to abound. There is no holding it in. It is going to gush forth. It is going to pour out. It is just going to come out. When you pop that lid, it will abound. There is no stopping it. That's the idea of the word abound. Y'all got it now? That's abound. When something abounds, it comes out naturally, and you can't stop it. By the way, if I pop that, what's going to abound out? Not a trick question. What does the can say? What's going to abound out? Coke. Is Dr. Pepper going to abound out? Mellow Yellow. No, Coke, because that's what's in it. And you know what? What's in your heart is going to come out. When you are rooted in Christ, when you're growing in Christ, when you're established in your faith, thankfulness, he says, abounds. It just comes out. It's the natural response. You just abound in thanksgiving. It just comes out naturally. You wake up in the morning and you're like, Lord, thank you. You gave me another day. You didn't have to do that. You eat your breakfast and you're like, thank you, Lord, for food to eat. A lot of people don't have anything to eat in the world. I mean, it may be a coffee and a piece of toast, but amen, it's something, right? You put your clothes on and you're like, Lord, thank you for clothes to wear today. A lot of people don't have any clothes. Some people have one, they got one set of clothes in their closet. That's it. A lot of people in the world, that's it. They wear the same thing every day. They don't have a choice. Lord, I got a closet full of clothes. Thank you. Lord, thank you. I got a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, that I got a car to drive. Billions of people in the world have no car. They have no vehicle. They don't even have a bike. They walk everywhere they go. Lord, thank you for a vehicle to get to work. Thank you for a job. Thank you that I got a job. I can go provide for myself, make some money for my family, support my family. You lay your head on your pillow at night. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, God. You see, when you're walking with Christ and you're established, you're growing, thankfulness just kind of abounds. It just kind of, just like that Coke, it just comes out naturally. It's not something you got to work up. You know, Thanksgiving, in your handout, it says that Thanksgiving's the proper response to the grace of God when you're walking by faith. When you walk with Him, it's just the proper response. You're just thankful. When you realize all that God has done for you in Christ, it just has a way of producing gratitude in you. And it's not something, like I said, it's not something you got to work up. It's not something you got to remind yourself, oh, I better be thankful. I better be thankful that I got food. I better be thankful for my meal. I better be thankful for my clothes. I better be thankful, you know, for a roof over my head. Better be thankful for my job. Better be thankful for my wife. Better be thankful for my kids. Better be thankful for my grandkids. Better be thankful. You don't have to remind yourself. No, it's like this. It's just very natural. It just works in and through you. It abounds. It's just His life living through you. Are you thankful? And I'll just say this. If you're struggling with this right now, and you find that you really can go days and not truly be thankful to God, a lack of thankfulness is indicative that you're not growing as a Christian. You're either not growing or you've stopped growing. You're stagnant. You're not growing. That's a lack of thankfulness is indicative, because He says when you're growing and you're established in your faith, you're rooted and built up in Him, He says you abound with thanksgiving. Do you see blessings everywhere? Because they're there. They're there. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what is going on. Do you see blessings? Because they're there. You have to have eyes to see them. You got to have eyes to see them. And the awesome part of this whole thing of thankfulness is that it's something that every one of us is in control of. There are certain things in life you can't control. You have no control over other people's actions. You just don't. You have no control over what home you were born in. Listen, you get on a roller coaster, you got no control over where that thing goes. Now, you got a choice whether or not to get on it, and boy, I use my choice wisely there, let me tell you. But once you're on it and they strap you in and that baby takes off, you don't get to say whether it goes right or left, up or down, amen? There's certain things in life you just got no control over. I told my wife the other day, we were out walking, I was like, like a riddle. I don't know why I think of these things. I'm just weird. But I thought of this, and I said, what's the one thing? And I just don't know why it hit me. I said, what's the one thing that you use every single day of your life that you have absolutely no control over and that you have no choice in? She's like, huh? And so she didn't get it. And I said, your name. Your name. Right? You use your name every day. People use your name every day, and you had absolutely no say-so in it. Somebody else named you. There are certain things in life that you just can't control. But can I submit to you, thanksgiving is one area that is personal between you and God. Nobody can keep you from being thankful. Nobody. It's like I was reading stories about persecuted believers that are in communist countries right now. And right now, there are Christians behind bars in prison. And I was reading the story about a pastor that was in prison, like I think it was in the 50s, I think, or 60s. And they gave him a piece of bread and a glass of water, cup of water, once a day. That's all he got to eat. And he would bow his head and he would give thanks to God for it. Nobody can keep you from being thankful. But here's the deal. Other people will be affected by your thankfulness or your lack thereof. They will be affected by it. For example, if you're a parent, last week we talked about two important aspects of child rearing. We talked about respect and obedience. This issue of thankfulness is another absolute key, I believe, in raising well-balanced, godly children. It's so important, parents. If you got parents, if you are a parent and you still got kids, this is so big time, big league important. Unthankful parents typically raise unthankful children. And then they typically raise unthankful children. And that can go on for generations until somebody decides they're going to break that cycle of unthankfulness. And hey, listen, it's great to say a prayer of gratefulness at Thanksgiving in November. That's awesome. That's fun. But if we don't demonstrate a thankful attitude daily, we're setting up our kids, I believe, for a very dangerous future. And that's why I believe that parents, listen, you must create a culture of thankfulness in your home life. You must create a culture. That's in your handout, so if we could bring it up on the screen. Thank you. We have to create a culture of thankfulness in our home lives. And you can do it. That's the thing. You can do it. You don't want this culture in your home life of woe is us, poor us, everybody just does us dirty, we've just got it so rough, we've just been dealt a raw deal. That's going to rub off on your kids. You're going to create that culture. But what you want to do is create this culture of thankfulness in your home life. And you can do it. You know, as parents, we certainly were not perfect. I look back and I see so many mistakes that we made. But one thing I think that we did a pretty good job at, and that is teaching our three sons to be thankful, to make sure they understood that when someone does something nice for you, be thankful for that. When we do something nice for you, we tell them. You know, when they're little, they don't know. So we'd be like, you know, we get them an ice cream. What do you say? You guys are nice. See, that's good. What do you say? Thank you. You know, and if someone does something nice for them, what do you say? You know, thank you. Thank you. And we pray and we thank God. And we did that with our kids, you know. And I feel like all three of our boys have grown up into very thankful men. They're men now. But I feel like they're very thankful. And I see Clint and Kendall doing that, you know, with their kids, teaching Connor and Landon and insisting that they be thankful, teaching them that. For our kids, we had gotten them a pass, you know, something we could do as a family for an amusement park. So we went to that, had a great time, the whole family. That was at Christmas time, so we're just getting to use it. And Caleb, right there, Caleb sent us the nicest thank you text that night. Mom and Dad, thank you so much for a great day. It was so awesome, you know, great memories. Thank you for doing that. He's 20. He's still being thankful. You see, you want to create a culture of thankfulness in your kids. Listen, kids that aren't taught thankfulness, and by the way, it's taught. It's not only is it taught, it's caught. Because they're going to catch it as they see you being thankful. They catch that too. Boy, they watch. It's taught and it's caught. But the thing is, if it's not taught and caught by your kids, it's going to affect so many areas of their life. They're going to struggle in so many areas of their life. There are going to be so many repercussions. Let me give you four quick ones. Number one is this. If your kids aren't taught thankfulness, number one, they will choose the wrong kind of friends. Let me explain. The Bible says, listen, he that walks with wise men, does anybody know that verse? Shall be what? Wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Do you guys think that the friends that your kids make, is that important, yes or no? Very important. You better know who your kids' friends are. Our philosophy was always with our kids, you know, hey, I want to go over to my friend's house. Hey, let them come over here. I want them to come to my house, see? And because I want to keep an eye, I want to know what's going on, right? And so, listen, the Bible says you hang out with fools, you're probably going to be a fool. If you hang out with fools, you're going to be a fool. You're going to make foolish decisions. You hang out with wise people, you're going to probably be wise. But listen, the best way to burn through good friendships, good lesson right here for everyone in here. The best way to burn through good friendships is to not show gratitude. Because wise, smart people tend to not stay in friendships with people who just drain them. Smart people don't stay in friendships like that with people who just drain them all the time. The right kind of friends are going to avoid ungrateful people. So that's why ungrateful, complaining, griping people tend to gravitate to each other. They can't get good friends, the right kind of friends. So griping people tend to become friends because they can't get good friends. So if the quality of your friends are going to help determine the direction of your life, and they will, ungrateful people tend to go down a slippery path. Kids that are spoiled, rotten, kids that aren't made to be thankful, kids that just have everything handed to them, and they don't know what it means to be thankful, I guarantee they'll end up with the wrong kind of friends. Number two, the second thing that happens to unthankful children is that they will develop an attitude that the world owes me. the world owes me. Gratitude, listen closely to this. Gratitude focuses on the idea. This is what gratitude is. It focuses on the idea that I should appreciate the role that others play in my success. I'm not an island to myself. People have poured into my life to help me to be where I'm at. That's the idea of gratefulness. It's the idea if I'm in college, I'm there because people have poured into my life. If I got a good job, it's because people have poured into my life and given me a chance. If I've got a nice house or I've got a place, it's because people have poured into my life. Unthankful people, though, they got an entitlement attitude. Instead of being grateful to God and grateful to the role that others have played in your life and the value that they've brought to your life, ungrateful people get the attitude, well, they owe it to me. I deserve it. Or they get the attitude of, well, they just do these things for me because they recognize my importance. That's why they do these things for me. They see how important I am, how smart I am. Can I just tell you something? Teenagers, young people, listen to me. The world doesn't owe you a thing. And I know we live in a world today in which everyone expects a handout from this one and that one and that agency and this agency and the government. And I understand that, and I get that we live in a world in which everybody thinks someone owes them something. But let me just give everyone in here a dose of reality. The world doesn't owe you a thing. If somebody steps up to the plate and they're good to you and they're kind to you and they do nice things for you and they pour into your life, you better be thankful because they don't have to do it. So we need to raise our kids up with not an attitude of the world owes me. No, you instill in them thankfulness. Number three, if we don't instill thankfulness in our kids, number three, they will become a discontent person. Discontentment's a very dangerous thing. It's a never is enough attitude. Think about this. Isn't discontentment how all of our problems started? Two people, Adam and Eve, lived in paradise and had everything, and they became obsessed with the one thing they didn't have. They became discontent because of the one thing they didn't have. Discontentment's how all these problems started. Whenever you show gratitude, you know what you're doing? You're simply readjusting your focus. Gratitude is simply turning your attention away. Listen, gratitude is turning your attention from what you don't have to what you do have. That's gratitude. If you want your children to become content adults, which is so important, then help them to understand why they should be grateful. And I'll just reiterate what I said last week. Start young. When they're old enough to understand the word thank you, the words thank you, make them say it. Make them be thankful. Help them to understand thankfulness. I don't know about you, but you know, when I gave my kids a piece of candy or someone else gave them a piece, and this is something, when I taught children, I know this for a fact, and I know things haven't gotten better because that was years ago, 25 years ago. When I taught kids and we would give a piece of candy to every kid, it was interesting to see their response. Because some of the kids, when you would give them a piece of candy, they'd go, and they'd just snatch it out of my hand. Other kids would look and say, I don't want that color. I don't like that color. And then if you told them no, they'd pout. You know, some kids would just take it out of your hand and just never say a word. And I would say about 2 out of every 100, literally, would take it and go, thank you. I'm telling you, we are missing the mark teaching our kids thankfulness. And they grow up with all kinds of problems because we're not instilling it in them. Number four. When we raise our kids to be unthankful, number four, they will develop a critical spirit. And these kind of people aren't much fun to be around, are they? You ever met somebody who can say something really nice about somebody, but before the conversation is over, they have to find a way to cut on them and jab at them. They can't just say something nice and leave it. They got to cut on them before this conversation. Or how about this? This happens. This is kind of more of a southern phenomenon. But people down south, they will just rip somebody to shreds. I mean, just talk about them like they're a dog, you know. Just rip them up, gossip about them, talk about them, you know, just nastiness. And then they'll end it with, bless their heart. I just love them. Bless their heart, I just love them. They'll laugh, I just love them. Never have understood why someone will just rip someone to shreds and then end it with, bless their heart. So be honest. Be honest with yourself. Just for a minute, let's be honest, all right? Do you tend, don't answer out loud, but do you tend to gripe and complain and whine and be negative and be critical a lot? And just you examine your own heart. Do you tend to do that? Here's my encouragement for you. And I mean this with all my heart, and I believe this with all my heart. God can change you. Because people develop that habit as a kid. Their parents let them be brats. Let them be unthankful. Let them gripe and complain about all the things they want and don't have. And then they grow up and they're that way as an adult. But literally, God can change you. Did you know that they say that a new habit, you can create a new habit in your life. The average is 66 days. A new habit is created to where it becomes rote. 66, that's like 2 months. I'm not talking about something that's going to take you years to overcome. They say habits can be developed by some people in 18 days, but the average is 66 days. So that means that if you have a habit of being negative and critical and looking, you know, at the dark side of everything and being critical of people, God can literally help you to become a delightful person to be around. I mean, a person who is just thankful and grateful and they see blessings everywhere. And you can become like a ray of sunshine to other people. Man, they're glad to see you coming because you're always so encouraging, so positive. You're just a delightful person to be around. God can literally help you to become that in a very short period of time. You can overcome this if you've been unthankful and you're just a critical person. And you can create new habits in your kids very quickly. If you got a kid that's 8 or 10 years old and they're unthankful, well, that's a habit that they created, and it's the parents' fault. But you know what? You can create a new habit in your child in a short amount of time just by them seeing you be thankful, you insisting that they be thankful, write notes of thankful, you know, that are thank you notes. Whatever happened to old-fashioned thank you notes, amen? Where you thank someone when they do something nice for you. That's so good. We made our kids always write thank you notes when somebody did something nice for them. When they were old enough to write, we'd make them sit down and write a thank you note. They don't have to do that for you. And if they ever kind of like, hey, my wife, bless her heart, my wife is she's a great person. She is so thankful. And I tell you what, my wife, if my kids pouted or if they kind of got it, she'd be like, no, we are not going to act that way. I mean, my little wife can be, No, remember that, Caleb? No, you are not going to pout. You are not going to act that way. You have so much to be thankful for, and we are not going to go there. She wouldn't let him. She just wouldn't let him go there. Wasn't going to happen. As we go through this list of what culture looks like in the last days, we're trying to turn each negative into a positive. And think about this with me for a minute. Think about this, please. Practicing a positive virtue actually helps you overcome a negative one. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Look at the verse up here real quickly. We're going to go through these fast, okay? Look at this. All from Ephesians 4. Look at this. Put away lying, but what do I replace it with? Speak every man what? You practice telling the truth. When you're about to tell a lie, nope, I'm going to create a new habit. I'm going to be absolutely truthful about this. All right, go to the next verse. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him do the opposite. Instead of stealing, thinking that you deserve something without any work at all. No, you replace the stealing with labor, with work, working with your hands that which is good. And then you become a generous person that you live to give, not to take from others. Look at the next verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What's the stuff that we say out of our mouth? It's just corrupt. There's no good in it. He says, no, replace that with that which is good. Start practicing. Practice saying good things with your mouth that build up, that edify, that minister grace to people. You got to work it. You got to practice. Replace the bad with the good. Look at the next one. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, let that be put away from you. Look at the next verse. He says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. See, you replace the negative with the positive. And that's how you create new habits. For example, if you have a tendency to be jealous, you got a tendency to be jealous of other people, stuff they have. Well, you got to replace that with something positive. You got to make yourself, you got to practice praising and celebrating what other people accomplish. Work, intentionally compliment other people. Intentionally congratulate people when you're prone to be jealous. Hey, I love your new car. Hey, I love your new house. Congratulations on that. Hey, that's a beautiful dress or a beautiful shirt or whatever. Instead of thinking, boy, they got a new dress. Why don't I have a new dress? I'm going to act like I don't like it, even though I do like it. What's that all about? No, you're like, no, intentionally compliment. You have to replace the negative with the positive. If you got a tendency to be indifferent or mean towards others, you just got a mean streak. How many of you in here? Well, no one's going to admit that. But you just got a mean streak. You know what I mean? You know, and you can just be mean. You know, you can be mean to the waitress if she's not on top of it. You can just be mean, you know, to the cashier. You can just be mean to the person that cuts you off in the car. You know, you just got a mean streak. Then you have to work at intentionally doing acts of kindness. Do something nice for that waitress. Maybe she's having a hard day. Do something nice for that cashier. You know, say something nice to her to make her day. Say, do, and when you want to be mean. When you want to be mean to that driver, hey, they want to butt in, let them come in. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Be like, you know what, maybe they got someone sick in the car. Maybe they're late for a very important appointment. Let them in, smile, wave at them. Seriously, they'll wave back, thank you, you know. Much better way to live life. Much happier way to live life. You know, just let them in. What does it matter? Do random acts of kindness. If you have a problem with being critical and negative, become intentional about showing gratitude. Every time you're tempted to be negative and find something, then you know what? Find something to be thankful for. And don't allow your kids to whine and pout and complain. Don't tolerate that. You're teaching them to be unthankful. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Do y'all believe that the Bible's right? Then in everything we need to what? Give thanks. In everything, let it abound, all right? Let it abound. Let's pray.